1 Corinthians 14 and Hebrews 10. So if you turn to both of those places, 1 Corinthians 14, put a marker there, and then Hebrews chapter 10. Famous last words. I won't keep you long tonight. Really just want to share with you some things that I think will be of help. A couple of weeks ago, or several weeks ago, on Sunday night, we dealt with some issues in regard to worship, worship that is pleasing to the Lord. But tonight I want to just consider some of the benefit and purposes that God has laid out in His Word. This isn't all of them, but a few of them, purposes and benefits of corporate worship, church gatherings, okay? You could maybe summarize this, but why do we go to church? Why do we assemble with the church? And so if you're there in both our texts, 1 Corinthians 14 and then also Hebrews 10, would you stand with me as we read the scripture tonight? Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to begin reading in verse number 24. The Bible says here, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Okay, so there he's telling us in 1 Corinthians 10 that one of the purposes of assembling together, our assembling together, is one another. It says that in verse 24, let us consider one another. And then we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says here, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church." Thank you for standing. You can be seated. As we consider the subject of worship, I think it's important just to reiterate, and I'm not going to re-preach the message that I preached to you a few weeks ago, but I think it's important to reiterate that the object of our worship is always God. Our worship is always to be Godward. This cannot be overemphasized. When we worship the Lord, our concern, not just our primary concern, but really our only concern, is what does God think of our worship? Not how does it make me feel, not does it move me to tears, not is it exciting to me, not does it please my neighbor or my friend, but the question is always, is this pleasing to the Lord? He is the only one that matters in terms of who we are trying to please. But with that being said, I would like to say to you tonight that the reason that we gather and worship the Lord corporately is not only for the Lord. It is always to the Lord, and our question should always be, is this honoring the Lord? But there is a side benefit, if I can put it that way, to corporate worship. And there is a consideration of one another in our worship as well. Some people have this idea, well, you know, I'm saved and I have the Holy Spirit living within me and I've got the Bible, and why do I need a church? I don't need organized religion. I don't need some man-made institution. And I would say to that, amen. You don't need a man-made institution. But the institution of the New Testament church is not man-made. Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the church is not a man-made institution, not a scriptural church. It is a God-designed and God-ordained institution where we are to come together for several purposes, but one of them being corporate worship. That is what we are to do. And so this idea that, well, you know, I can just worship God anywhere that I am. I would say, yes, you can, and you should. I've heard people say, you know, I can worship God better in the deer stand than I can in the church house. Well, then you've either got one amazing deer stand, or you need to find a different church. Because the truth of the matter is that God wants us to worship Him together. He referred to His people, the nation of Israel. Often He refers to them in the Old Testament and the Bible. He calls them the congregation. The congregation of Israel. And a church, by definition, is a congregation, is it not? It is an assembly, a local and visible assembly of God's people. That is what we are. And God wants for us to be part of a New Testament church, not just to have our name on the membership roll, and not even just as a place and an outpost for serving the Lord, but He wants for us to gather together as part of our worship to Him, to do so together. And so tonight, I know these things are not new, but as I said this morning, sometimes we need to be reminded. I was last night sitting with my family and just considering how grateful I am for the family that God's given me. I'm thankful for my wife. And I could spend all night talking about the things that I'm thankful for about her. She's been my life partner now almost half my life. I've been married to her, and she's been faithfully by my side and has ministered to many of my needs and has been my companion and my helper, and she has always followed me wherever God led me. And I can tell you, He's led me to some interesting places. And I'm thankful for her. And then I look at my children and I think, boy, I'm thankful for each of them and just the blessing to be part of this family and have this family. And even though that is always true, sometimes I need to just remind myself of how thankful I am for my family. And sometimes I believe that we need to be reminded of what a privilege it is to be part of one of the Lord's churches. God has things for you here that you can't get anywhere else. And it's not because we are the only church, and it's not because I'm the perfect pastor, even though I am, but you know, it's not because of any of those things. It's because this is the body that God has placed you in, and there are things that God wants to do in you and through you that He will only do here. And when I say here, understand, I'm not talking about the location. This building could burn to the ground, the church would remain, because the church isn't a building, it is a body. But there are things that God wants to do in your life and through your life that He wants to do in the context of this church. And so as we just look at some simple things about the purpose of corporate worship and coming together tonight, I want to remind you that one of the reasons that we worship the Lord together, not just by ourselves, though you ought to be worshiping the Lord daily by yourself, the reason that we come together and assemble together to worship the Lord, one of the reasons that is given is for the edification of the church. I want you to notice here in 1 Corinthians 14, this chapter is so rich with truth. In fact, one of these days soon, we're probably going to dig into some of the other things that are found here in this chapter, but it's so rich with truth, and yet a lot of that gets overshadowed because when we go to 1 Corinthians 14, we're usually just kind of debating the issue of speaking in tongues, whether it's valid for today, what types of tongues were talked about, and all of that. But there's actually a lot of great teaching about God's design and order for the New Testament church right here in this chapter. And he says in verse number 1, he says, follow after charity. Follow after charity. Now this is a book, this is a chapter, I should say, specifically designed to teach us about order in the church. When you come to the end of the chapter, it caps it off with this statement, let all things be done decently and in order. But he starts the chapter by saying, follow after charity. What is charity? Well, it was defined for us in the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, everything that it is. It is selfless. It is self-sacrificing. It is giving of ourselves for the benefit of others. Can I say to you tonight that I think our culture and even many Christians today have gotten this distorted view about church, and they forget that my involvement in the New Testament church is first and foremost for God and for His glory, but it is secondarily not for my benefit, but for the benefit of others around me. In other words, it is a loving thing to assemble together and to seek the good of our brethren. That is an expression of the love of God that He has given to us and that we are to reflect back to Him. We are to love one another. Follow after charity. A lot of people have this idea that I need to find a church that suits me. I need to find a church that I enjoy. I need to find a church where I can go and it has they can meet some needs in my family, that I'm being helped, that I am being encouraged, that I am growing. And by the way, I will say to you, when you find the church that God wants you to be part of and you get plugged in and you start serving, God will meet those needs for you. But if you're looking at church as something that I can come and benefit from it, you've got it all backwards. Because it's not really about you. It's not about you. Follow after charity. He's talking about spiritual gifts and even the gift of tongues here. And I don't want to get hung up on that tonight, but he's talking about that. But notice he says, verse number 3, but he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. Now you might say, Pastor, don't you know that the gift of prophecy ceased upon the completion of the Word of God? And I would say to you, are you sure about that? I understand that today we don't have the same kind of prophecy that once was. We don't have prophets who receive some revelation from God and then bring this new truth to God's people speaking on God's behalf. We don't need that today because we have the completed scriptures. God has given us His Word. But I want you to think about this for a moment. Even when you think of a prophet, who's the first prophet that comes to your mind when you think of a prophet? Somebody? Jeremiah, all right, anyone else? Gideon? Elijah? Sure. Anyone else? Abraham was, he's called a prophet, isn't he? Okay, but we usually think of guys like that. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, Elisha. We think of these prophets. But do you know what those prophets did? They received a word from God. And then they came and they declared that word that God gave them to God's people, usually with some phrase like this, thus saith the Lord. You know what prophecy is? It is declaring what God has said. That's what it is. Now we have today a more sure word of prophecy right here. But do you know that every time that a preacher steps into the pulpit, it ought to be, "Thus saith the Lord," from the Scriptures? And so in a sense, I think we can say that we have prophecy in existence today as well. And what he's saying, and again, I'm not talking about new revelation. I am talking about the proclamation of the Word of God. We would call it preaching. And here's what he's saying. Sure, there are some people in this particular time, there are some people that God had given the gift of tongues. And there was a purpose, and there was a time and a place for that. And God used it. Go back to the early parts of the book of Acts, specifically Acts 2 and the day of Pentecost. And boy, how the Lord used that spiritual gift to bring people to Christ. That was a wonderful thing. But what he's saying is, when you consider spiritual gifts, there's this one over here, which is tongues. But then he says there's a greater gift. The greater gift is prophecy. And then he gives the reason. Here's why prophecy is greater than tongues. Because, verse number 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. In other words, when you come together, the greatest thing you can do is to edify, to build up your church, fellow church members, the brethren. That's what you're supposed to be doing. It is for one another. We read over in Hebrews chapter 10, and we often will quote verse 25, right? Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Don't skip out on church. And that's part of it. Yes, you ought to be here. But the first thing it says in the previous verse, and let us consider one another. Be honest with yourself tonight. Have you ever woken up on a church day and thought to yourself, I really don't feel like going to church today? A few of you are smiling because you thought that this morning or this afternoon. You didn't want to get up from your nap. I don't feel like going to church today. You know what your next thought needs to be? It's not about me. Because if I'm not there, the church feels that. You might think that nobody notices if you're gone. But it's not true. You see, we are a body, and a body only properly functions when all of its members are properly functioning. And your absence is felt, whether you realize it or not. Let us consider one another. This is the charitable thing to do. Notice, it is not for the edification of self. I find that really interesting that he says this here in 1 Corinthians 14 in verse number 4. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. I've actually heard people use this as an argument as to why we ought to still speak in tongues today. Well, because I'm edifying myself. It edifies me. Pretty sure the context of this chapter is saying, don't think of yourself, think of others. Edify the body. This is for the edification of everyone. This is for the building up. This is for the help. This is for the spiritual growth of your brethren. It's not just to edify yourself. Oh, you know, I don't feel like I really need that. Could it be that somebody else needs you? Well, you know, pastor's preaching a series that to a particular group of people, it doesn't necessarily apply to me, so I think I'm just not going to be there. Maybe some other people need you to be here. Let us consider one another. By the way, our service to the Lord ought not to be, number one, it ought not to be, what can I get from it? Number two, it ought not to be, I want to look good in the eyes of others. It should be, what do they need? By the way, this is one reason that online services and live streaming, that doesn't suffice. It's not the same. I really have a, I have mixed feelings, to be honest, with using our technology to take and stream our services out. And there's one reason that we do make that available for church members through our Mount Zion Family Facebook page. We don't really broadcast things online out there. Why? Because there is no substitute for the gathering of the church. I'm thankful for people who are shut in or whatever and can't get out. It gives them an opportunity to get a glimpse. But it's not the same. It's not the same as being in church. Why? You can't minister to others and you can't be ministered to in the same way. I want you to notice here, he says that this is part of charity, gathering for the edification of the church. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 21. John chapter 21. And this is a familiar portion of Scripture to most of us. John 21. And we'll begin reading in verse number 15. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Notice these words. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Now there's a lot that we could say about this particular text of Scripture. There's a lot of interesting theological implications to it. But the one aspect that I'd like to highlight for you tonight is that three times the Lord looked Simon Peter in the eyes and said, do you love me? And upon his response, his affirmative response, yes, Lord, I love you, you know I love you, all three times he said, then minister to my people. Did you know there's a connection between your love for God and your love for God's church? You can say that you love God. But if you're not really willing to minister to God's people, then you don't really love God. Think about it. To love someone is to love the things that they love. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. The Bible identifies the church as the bride of Christ, and I don't know all of the implications of that, but I know this, God cares about his churches. Someone said it this way, to say that you love God and to despise the church is like saying you want to be best friends with someone but want nothing to do with his wife. Doesn't make a lot of sense, does it? Part of loving God is loving God's people. This is, according to 1 John, one of the evidences, one of the fruits that comes as a result of our salvation, that we would love the brethren. and your and my involvement in the New Testament church, it is for the glory of God. It's because we love God, and everything we do, we need to be asking ourselves, is this honoring to the Lord? But as part of that, we need to say, because I love Him, I serve Him by serving His people. And I'm going to minister to others, and I'm going to consider one another because other people need me. You know, I think everyone has a desire to feel wanted and needed. And I want to tell you tonight, you're needed here. You're needed here. And I may or may not know exactly where that place is that you're needed, but you're needed here. Your brothers and sisters who sit among you tonight need you. They need your prayers. They need your encouragement. They might need your help in certain areas of life. They might need some discipleship. They might need some accountability. But this church needs you, and you need it. We gather together for corporate worship, for the edification of the church, but then let me say this also. We gather together for corporate worship because you and I need the preaching of the Word of God. You need it. Some people think, well, hey, you know, I've got the Bible. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've grown to a point that I can open the Bible and get food for myself. Praise the Lord, you ought to. You know, the Bible makes that distinction between those who are spiritually immature and those who are more mature, and it uses the description of the difference between those who are able to handle only milk and those who can handle meat. We've got a couple of little babies around here, just a few weeks old, and how thankful we are to have them around. I was excited this morning when Lee came into my Sunday school class, and his parents too. And then a little bit later, Autumn came in, and I think her parents were there. But I'm excited. I love to see these little ones. You know, right now they can't sit down and enjoy steak. Some of the guys were over at Cornerstone the other night, and we sat down and had steak and pork loin, and man, it was good stuff. That was a good meal. These little babies couldn't enjoy that because they're still on milk. That's all they can handle. And so there's this spiritual parallel to that, right? Those who can handle the deep things of the Word of God and those who can only handle the very simple things. And one of those realizations is it's not just the type of food that you can handle, but as you mature and as you grow, you learn not just to be fed, but to feed yourself. And every mature Christian ought to be able to open the Word of God and be fed in their daily life, in their daily walk, to open the Scriptures and to be fed by the Lord. And so if that's where you are, praise the Lord for it. But can I tell you that even if you can feed yourself from the Word of God, you still need to be fed. You still need to be fed. I want to show you a few places here. We're in 1 Corinthians 14. Look with me, if you would, at verse number 3. It says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort." Three things: edification, exhortation, and comfort. All of us have need of these things. To edify means to build up. It literally means to erect or to construct something. Edification. This is part of the preaching of the Word of God. When the Word of God is preached, it brings with it an element of teaching and instruction, and you ought to be growing in your knowledge of the Word of God, and part of that is by being taught. You need to be taught. By the way, I still need to be taught. We all have room for growth, edification, but then there's exhortation. You cannot exhort yourself. Did you know that? Do you know what exhortation is? Exhortation is this proclamation of truth that is calling you to action. It has the idea of a coach that's encouraging one of his athletes, one of his players, and cheering him on and giving him some instruction and saying, hey, you need to go out there and you need to play like this. You need to do this. Here's the strategy. Here's the plan. He's exhorting them. He's calling them to action. God wants you to be exhorted. You need that. You can't do that for yourself. And then, not only edification and exhortation, but also comfort. Comfort. The Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, brings with it several aspects. It is a two-edged sword. And one edge of that sword cuts. Sometimes we need to hear some preaching that hurts a little bit. Sometimes we need that. My grandpa told me one time, remember, speaking to me as a pastor, he said, remember, sheep only get shorn once a year. Because sometimes certain preachers, I mean every time they're preaching, you know, it's rip your face off, you know. We need that. Sometimes we need the balm of the Word of God too. The comfort that comes. The reminders about the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. We need that. We need that. You need the preaching of the Word of God. And I want to say this to you, not in any kind of an arrogant way, but just an honest way. God has ordained pastors, elders, to be preachers of the Word of God. I want to show you this. 1 Peter chapter 5. So here's this man who the Lord Jesus said, if you love me, feed my sheep. And now he turns in 1 Peter chapter 5. Verse number 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Well, here's what he's saying. The elders, this isn't speaking just to people who are older in age. This is a reference to the office of a pastor. It says the elders, part of their job, part of their responsibility is to feed the flock. To feed the flock. Go over to Acts chapter 20, if you would. Acts chapter number 20. Verse number 28, Paul speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus says this, take heed therefore to yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, Paul told Timothy there that the elders that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. And then it says this, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. One of the jobs of a pastor is to feed you. Now that might sound obvious to you, But I want you to think about this. You will not be getting everything that God wants to give you if you are not placing yourself in the care of pastoral teaching and preaching. You need to be fed. That doesn't mean that I'm smarter than you. It doesn't mean that I'm better than you. It doesn't mean anything like, doesn't even mean I'm more spiritually mature than you. Although I am supposed to be an example to the flock. Pray for me, please. But here's what it means. God has ordained elders, pastors, to be shepherds who feed the flock. And when you say, I don't need that, you're missing out. You're missing out. Not because I have anything to give you. I'm telling you, I can't tell you how much I pray and tell the Lord, Lord, I've got nothing to give these people. But God has something that He wants to do in your life that He is going to do through the preaching of His Word. And that means that you need to place yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. Have you ever stopped and considered? And I understand, I'm preaching to a Sunday night crowd. You're faithful. And I appreciate that. But have you ever considered that when you willingly miss church? I understand, sometimes it's unavoidable. Sometimes you're sick or something comes up and you can't be here. God knows that. God knows that. But have you ever stopped and considered that maybe in those times where you just decide, I'm not going to be there, I don't feel like it today, maybe God had something that you needed that you missed? Because part of what God wants to do in your life is through the preaching of His Word, and that happens in a corporate setting in the church. Look with me, if you would, just back here in 1 Corinthians 14 and down toward the end of the chapter. Again, he's dealing with the issue of speaking in tongues. But I want you to notice this. It says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that ye are mad? You know, sometimes the Lord blesses us with visitors who come in. And we don't do the things that we do for the sake of visitors. That's something I'm very passionate about. I believe that the gathering of the church, be it Wednesday night or Sunday morning, is not primarily for the evangelism of the lost. That's to take place outside of these four walls. We don't just bring them in to get them the gospel. We're to take the gospel to them. When we come together, it's for the edification of the church. However, we do need to be cognizant that the watching world around us, out of curiosity, is probably going to peek their head in once in a while and say, what's going on in there? And when they do that, you know what they ought to see? They ought to see that the Spirit of God is at work among His people. That's the point of what he's saying here. And he says this in verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is, listen to this, convinced of all, he is judged of all, and thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. Now, this is speaking of an unbeliever who comes in, but it still is important for showing us that this is one of the things that the preaching of the Word of God does. It exposes the secrets of the heart. Thus, the secrets of his heart are made manifest. This is something I ask God to do every time that I preach. Lord, show us what you see in us. Help me through the preaching of your word to begin to see, would you reveal some things about me to me through the preaching of your word? That's what prophecy does. The secrets of our heart are made manifest. This is the way, this is one of the ways that God deals with the issues of our hearts. You need it. I need it. And friend, we need the church. And the church needs us. And so when we consider this issue of worship, yes, it is all about the Lord. Is this honoring the Lord? Is it pleasing the Lord? He is the object of our worship. But if we just stop there, we might come to the conclusion that it doesn't really matter in what setting I worship the Lord. We are to worship the Lord at all times. But friend, God has called us to assemble together for our good and for the good of the brethren. To worship the Lord together, to consider one another, to provoke one another unto what? Love and good works. To edify, to build up, to strengthen. Think of it this way. Who is better? Who's better off today because you were in church today? Have you encouraged someone? Maybe you shook someone's hand and smiled at them. Maybe you listened to someone and bore some burdens with them. Maybe you prayed with someone. You ought to do that. Why? Because you're not here for you. Let us consider one another. And let us never undervalue the importance of the local New Testament church.